Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8. We read from verse 40 through to verse 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who had been there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were waiting and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. I'm sure that all of us have times in our lives when we feel a particular need. And we read the story today of two people who did have serious problems and needs in their lives. First of all, we read of a woman who had suffered greatly from an issue of blood for some 12 years. She had gone to many physicians and many doctors, but her complication, her health problem, her pain was persistent. In no way was she able to feel any sense of recovery. Besides this, according to Jewish law, she was totally unclean, unable to participate in worship. And those who were near to her, especially those who were the rabbis and the Pharisees and scribes, would keep their distance, because even to touch or to be near her would mean that they too would become unclean. They would become contaminated. Can you imagine the depth of this woman's anguish and need? Can you imagine for the moment all the frustration and the pain she'd known in her life? And then we read of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Here was another man who was in the midst of desperation. Desperation. His one and only daughter was dying. No one could do anything with her at all. Now remember, here was a synagogue ruler, Jairus, someone who had been probably among those who would have questioned Jesus and his authority because of the very nature of his calling as being a synagogue ruler amidst the religious elite, whom Jesus got the most problems in his ministry. But here again, here was a man who had a need, a desperate need. His lovely little girl was dying, and he came to Jesus, his only and final hope. What would happen? Would he reject him? Because after all, he was a synagogue ruler. The Pharisees and the scribes, whom Jesus called the whitewashed sepulchres, he was taking a risk, a big risk, but that didn't mean anything. He knew he had to meet with him. And what did Jesus do in these two situations? He turned desperation into rejoicing. That's what he did. He turned situations of hopelessness into reasons for glory and praise to the God whom he knew would act through him to bring healing and blessing and comfort to these two people. That's why they're linked. And that's why I believe that Luke brought them together in this chapter, to tell us that story and for us to be sure of it. That faith that reaches out is a faith that will be rewarded. A faith that despite the obstacles and the difficulties and the prejudices, That which will come through those will find that which it seeks after, deliverance. So here we find these two individuals, these two people, so desperate in their need, coming to Christ and finding in him deliverance, finding in him the fulfillment of all their desires, finding in him and him alone that wonderful sense of healing and new life. I often think of these two individuals after these events are over, after Jairus' daughter had been delivered from death, after she, this woman, had been wonderful healed. How would their faith, what would their faith be then? I believe that it would have been deeper. It would have been more profound. It would be a faith that rejoiced in the knowledge of salvation. It was a faith that had experienced grace. And when we have experienced grace, dear friends, our faith is deepened to an extent that sometimes we are surprised of in our own human weakness. Because here is something that is of God, something that is wonderfully profound. So if you are reaching out in your need this morning, if you have problems and concerns and anxieties that perhaps no one else knows about, I would say that reaching out to him will bring you that comfort, that deliverance that sometimes we find we would find nowhere else. Because everyone who reaches out to him will find that wonderful, wonderful assurance of his presence and his peace in the midst of life, which can be so cruel, which sometimes individually can bring great burdens to our souls. But here we have deliverance. Here we have the Christ who comes and gives us that wonderful assurance. These desperate people found in Christ all that they needed. And for you and I, along the pilgrimage of our lives, whatever the circumstances in which we are going through, we can know that peace as well. We can have that assurance. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, the God of eternity has met with us. In him, he who came in the fullness of time to make the very heart of God real and to give us to an understanding of the nature and character of God, that all will be healed, all will be delivered when they trust and believe in him. And sometimes the path is hard. Sometimes the challenges are great, but we have that assurance one day. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more crying, for these former things will have passed away. That's the ultimate healing that Christ gives, and the assurance we have as the people of God. So these two people, the woman who was unclean, the desperate father, found in Christ the deliverance that they sought. And Jesus says, I will turn no one away who comes to me. Now, wonderful this morning. Whatever your problems, whatever your concerns, whatever your anxieties, and you put the news on tonight and you wonder what's going to happen in the Middle East, and we are concerned about the society and the political intrigue that goes around, and the evil that we see compounded again and again in a society that is drunk in its own immorality. He comes, the perfect one. Precious Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Holy One. And he says, I'm coming to your house, Jairus. Little girl's just asleep. Let me touch her. Let me restore her to you. And says to the woman, who touched me? The power had gone out from him. And there she was, humbled, kneeling before him. And did he condemn her? No. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. We need to be people of faith, dear friends, in a faithless world. And we need to trust in the words of Jesus. And we need to trust and believe in him. And we need to know that eternal promise. So when you look at the news tonight, when you've gone home, have that confidence in your heart that he is working out his purposes despite the evil of men. People came and said to Jairus, oh, don't bother, the girl is dead. Oh, good gracious me. Don't bother. And even Peter said, oh, there's so many people here. How can we find that woman? You know, how can we tell you who touched your garment? You see, that's the attitude of the world. Oh, we don't need this God. He's too busy. He can't be bothered. Well, he does. He does care. And that's the profound message that these two people give to us this morning in Greenfields and Ethley. So faith reaches out and faith is rewarded. Yeah. Faith waits on Jesus when the timing is right. The time was right for this woman. time was right for Jairus. This woman had reached the end of her tether now. She tried all the doctors, all the physicians, and healing had not come. Jairus was desperate. They told him that his little girl was dying. No hope at all. And what do they feel? And I can understand, you know, when you think of Jairus for a moment, right? Remember now, Jairus had approached Jesus, and this woman comes along. And Jairus must have thought, oh, why are you coming now, woman? I need to get him to come to my house. And why are you spending time with this woman? Why are you bothering with her? I have a more desperate need than this woman. Jairus was thinking entirely on a human level. He was desperate to get Jesus to the house that he might lay his hands upon her. Now he was being delayed. Can you imagine the frustration and the disappointment? Sometimes we get frustrated if we're going to meet someone, they don't turn up in the time. Someone has come to the house to do a repair or something and they don't turn up. Ooh, we get angry, we get really frustrated. We are people who are confined by times and expectations of times, don't we? But you know what the Word of God says? Read the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And time is that which is in God's control. God is an eternal God beyond time and space. We are confined by time and space. We want to do things. We want to think, pick things in the reality of the situation in which we find ourselves. Now, my daffodils are coming up at last in the garden. My daffodils. Well, they're gone. Oh, sorry. Well, daffodils, right? I bought a bag of daffodils on Amazon, planted in the garden, no sign of them coming up. The ones that have been there for 20 years are coming up. Yeah? Now then, what do I say? But this morning I was coming to the garden and I noticed that these ones I bought last year and put in, they're beginning to appear. And Yvonne said, yes, they'll come in their own time. Yeah? The daffodils have been there for a long time. They've been there for a long time, plus they're used to coming up every year regularly. But these bulbs are new. They're just acclimatizing. They're coming up in their own time. Of course they are. They will be beautiful in a couple of weeks, hopefully, because they have been in the ground. I haven't seen what's happening underground. I've got no concept. I can't dig them up and send them back to Amazon. Of course I can't. But the reality is, in their own time, they're coming. Something is happening under the ground I can't see. Yeah, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I want them to come up now, and they're taking their own time. Do not fear, Jesus said, only believe. And when we sometimes try to push God into our own time schedule, we will always be disappointed. Do you know why? Because he has eternity to work out his purposes. And we are confined by time and space. God's slow is not God's no, someone said. It is his timing is purposeful, it is not careless, it is ordained, it is planned. And that's why God has a plan for you, a life and mine, to be patient. Love is patient, love is kind, so the Word of God tells us. Patience is something that we need to learn in our own lives and in the life of the church to which we belong as well. We want things to happen now. We want revival to begin now. We pray for it. We pray for people to come to Christ and to come to a knowledge of him. These chapels all over the town at one time were full, and we long for those days again. But it's not what we want. It's what God wants. Mission and evangelism is part of his plan. And when the church is submissive to his word, submissive in prayer, who are seeking to do his will, then allow him to work. It not be our way, it will be his way. Because that's what God has said through his word. And that's why we must be patient. That's why we must submit to God's will in everything we seek to do as a church. That's where we are called, as the church of Jesus Christ, to be those who understand the very nature and character of the God we worship, and to trust implicitly in him, to believe the words of Jesus, ask in my name, and it will be given to you. Can we believe that? Yes, of course we can. It will be given to us. Not in our time, in his time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Everything, blessings will come, because we are seeking that which is central to our faith, the coming of the kingdom of God, by working out his purposes, by the people of God being those who serve the community, who preach the gospel of grace, and who trust implicitly in him. Leave it to him. Leave it to Him. Because I believe that God will reward those who surely submit to His will. This woman had waited 12 long years until she came to a time when she knew she had to come to Him. Why wait? Come to Him now. Trust and believe in His purposes, in His will. Know that He can do for you that which you can never do for yourself. And don't listen to the secularization of the world out there, because the world is going to destruction. Trust and believe in Him and submit to His timing. Let it be His timing, not yours. And know that we can trust and believe. Do not fear, only believe. Faith is tested, dear friends, sometimes not in the miraculous, but in the patience, in waiting for the Lord to work. His timing is purposeful. It is not careless. He has ordained for us that which is only good when we trust and believe in Him. The disciples themselves were guilty of this sometimes. They were anxious. They were ones who wanted to establish the kingdom now. You know, Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. You know, they toil not, nor but God cares for them. He knows when the sparrow falls. Wow, He knows it. Everything is known to Him. It is in the perfect timing of God that we need to realize that and to be sure of it. These people submitted to that timing. The time was right. She was healed. And Jairus' daughter was restored to him. Give her something to arise, little girl. Can you imagine how that man felt? A man who had been beset by religiosity and keeping the law of Moses and the prophets. A man who kept every tittle and every aspect of the law perfectly, because that's the way they could please God. No. It is by grace alone that we are saved. Trusting in Him, implicitly in the Christ of the Word of God. And to know Him in our lives. And to know that timing will be right. We all go through times of darkness, of loss, of bereavement, of illness. Sometimes it's hard. Of course it is. And we pray for healing now, perhaps. But that healing will come. The power of God's Spirit within us will work for the good of those who trust and believe in Him, because God works the purposes for good to those who believe in Him. And that's why these two people here are a wonderful example to us of the perfect timing of God. And then we come to what happened in the end. Jesus speaks life, and life came. And I think the pinnacle of this passage by Luke is the raising of Jairus' daughter. You know, Jesus, when He came to the house, said, look, she's only sleeping. And everybody laughed. Yeah? Oh, they laughed. They laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead. But He took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. You know, they laughed. The world laughs at us. The world mocks us as Christians. You know, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe in a God? Well, I can't. Somebody says, often says, you know, unless God appears to me, I will not believe in Him. And we get aspects of, oh, well, why is all the evil in the world? Why doesn't God do something about it? And those are the lessons, those are the challenges we are confronted with often. But we need to follow that by saying, look, God is in charge. God is on the throne. And He's working out your purposes. Perhaps long after you have left this world, God is still working out His purposes. And He will work it out, because the coming of the kingdom of God is grounded in the word of God. And that word will happen. We were told this world has lost to sin. Of course, the evil one is working around us, and we can see it again and again. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We need to trust and believe in His timing. They laughed. They mocked. But who came out triumphant? Huh? Who came out triumphant? Jesus Himself. Jesus doesn't just heal. He resurrects. Yeah? Easter Sunday morning, we'll be singing, God willing, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And He lives forever with His saints to reign. Aye. Resurrection here, prelude to the third morning. Bethany, Lazarus, prelude to the third day. Those signs, those seeds of what was to come would come to fruition on the third morning when Christ would be raised from the dead. And so death gives way to victory. Dear friends, that's the Saviour we believe in. That's the assurance we have as the people of God this morning, in this dark and evil world of which we're a part. That's the joy we know in believing in Christ and the coming of his kingdom. Here we have a glimpse of that which will come, because Luke is a doctor. Luke is one who looked intensively at the circumstances of which he saw and analysed them according to his physician's mind. And it's all one of healing. It is all one of joy. Luke also speaks of the prodigal in a distant land who comes back to the Father's love. He speaks of a lost sheep that comes back to the fold. You see what's happening here? God is at work. God is revealing that which he would reveal to you and I as pilgrims in a barren land, that he is there for us. He cares for us. And he ultimately will be the one who will be victorious on our behalf, that we might know through faith in him that we are the children of God. No longer strangers and aliens to God, but those redeemed by the grace of God. And it's all, as I said earlier, to do with the grace of God and the love that God has for us, his people, that he sent his son to die and to be, that we might be atoned for our sin. Because that's what God does. That's the very nature of the Godhead himself. And that's why, to us this morning, the mourners laugh, but Jesus is beyond what others did not see. He takes the girl by the hand. He brought her back from death. And he will do that for us one day, when we will see him face to face, because we will have trusted and believed. Our faith will be rewarded. And there's nothing to be ashamed about to speak about the rewards of faith, let me tell you. Because that's the promise that God has given to his saints. And we are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have entered in by faith. Watching the news is always sort of depressing these days, isn't it? You can't put the news bulletins on by seeing things that give us encouragement or any sort of light in the darkness that exists out there. And you know, sometimes we come to a situation where perhaps we don't want to put the news on. I was speaking to someone last week, in the Bible study, actually Tuesday night, and he said to me, David, I only put the news on once a day. I can't take anymore. Yeah? That's honest. I can't take anymore. These two couldn't take anymore. Couldn't they come to the end of their tether? But God rewarded them. And God fulfilled all his promises to them. And God will fulfill those promises to you and to me. The world around us is lost to sin. But we have a pathway to follow that is grounded in faith. When we reach out to Jesus, he will bring us healing. When we trust in his timing and his timing alone, his purposes will be fulfilled in our lives. And the final seal of that is the raising of Jairus, the raising of Jesus on the third day, where death was conquered and evil fell before that wondrous good news. He is risen indeed. And that is the gospel we proclaim, the name we honour, the name that is above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, I would say to you in this Lenten season, as we approach the wonderful message of Easter, that here we have glimpses of that which is to come, the glorious hope that is grounded in the eternal goodness of God. For indeed, he is the one who fulfills all his promises. Who touched my garment, he said? Who touched my garment? This frail, humble woman on her knees found grace. Nobody to come to the house, Jairus. She's gone. Now, I'm going to your house, Jairus. Arise, little girl. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a glorious hope we have. Grounded in the eternal love of the Father. And to him be the glory. Amen.